Our sermon is entitled, though, Why Does the Church of the Brethren Emphasize Peace? You know, as people drive down South Calhoun and see our sign, Lincolnshire Church of the Brethren, they may just wonder, just how is this Brethren Church different from any others on South Calhoun Street or Fort Wayne or in the surrounding areas? Well, certainly one way that we are different is that we are one of three peace denominations that are considered peace churches. And the other two denominations are the Mennonites and the Quakers. And since we are a historic peace church, we view Memorial Day with kind of a double lens. Over our nation's history, many brave men and women answered the call of duty for our nation. We, as your pastors, personally honor those individuals who fought and died to protect and preserve our way of life. They did not have any choice as to whether a war should be fought or not. That was determined by the executive and legislative branches. And they gave their all for their country, many times their lives. But we also honor those individuals who are conscientious objectors. A conscientious objector is a person who may be released from the obligation to serve in the armed forces or to participate in selective service registration because that person opposes war in any form. And not just a particular war, and that's what was stated back in the 60s with Vietnam. I don't like this war. I would have served in World War II, but not this one. Based on moral beliefs. And this morning we will look at the Church of the Brethren historic stance on peace.
Now you know that Paul was a former history teacher, so we have our history lessons. And I deeply appreciate that because I think it's important that we understand the background of where we're at today. So I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but Memorial Day actually originated after the Civil War, and it was originally called Decoration Day. Now, as we know it and have always known it, it is a day that we set aside to honor those who have died in the service of the United States military. Now, Paul did a little bit of research, so he's a history buff, but he's also a mathematician, so he likes to do research in data format. And so he was curious as to how many have died in battle in the 12 major U.S. wars since the Revolutionary War. His number came between 7 to 800,000 fatalities. In addition, we have twice as many soldiers who died as a result of their wounds, maybe not have died on the battlefield, but died later due to their wounds, or illnesses caused by those wounds. Now, in that, we can always say numbers, and sometimes it doesn't seem very personal, but when you think between 700,000 and 800,000, how many of you had a loved one die in a war serving our country? So you know this is not just a number. These are lives. These are loved ones. These were mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, best friends. These are dear people. So it is good for us to honor these fallen men and women. But you often think and you speculate, what could have happened had our governments chosen not to go to war? What other contributions could these 700,000 to 800,000 lives have made in our local community, in their vocations, in their churches, in their towns, their states, their countries, and maybe even the world? Alexander Mack, who, as many of you know, or most of you know, was the founder of our Church of the Brethren denomination, also pondered this question and also saw a similar correlation as Paul had. Under his leadership in 1708, in the town called Schwarzenau, which, as you know, is in Germany, seven persons formed a brotherhood, not a secret society, it was a brotherhood, which we now call the Church of the Brethren. And it was dedicated to following not only the Old Testament commandment, that thou shalt not kill, but also the New Testament commandment of Jesus Christ to love and to serve for peace. Before Mac was born, he lived and he was a product of the massive war that had taken place in Europe. Europe had been embroiled in a horrible war called the 30 Years' War, and it began in 1618. And as he was growing up, he was still feeling the effects of this. The memory of that war was very strong in the minds of the early brethren. Because, and get this, it was a war between the Protestants and the Catholics. How sad is that? It was brutal. Dale Brown, and you may know this author, he writes much on Brethren history. Brethren history beliefs. We use a lot of his curriculum in our classes and with new members of the church. In his book labeled Biblical Pacifism, he described this war as one of the worst in history, period. He further states the psychological impact on its survivors and their posterity was immense. Some estimate, and listen to this carefully, that the population of Germany, just think of that country alone, decreased by 75%. Can you imagine a war that we would take place in where we would lose 75% of our population? And he goes on to state that there was also the loss of livestock and the wealth, so it seemed even more immense. Unfortunately, this war still did not bring peace. And that's what these men were struggling with after that period of time. And it was for that reason that these men, these brethren, now grown more than just seven, moved to the United States. They moved here to find peace and religious freedom.
This is why we don't have an American flag that's mounted in our church. You see, back in Germany, you had two state-run churches. If you live, let's say, in this area of Lincolnshire, and there is an individual who is Lutheran, who is the ruler, you better be Lutheran, because if not, you could be persecuted or killed. Or let's say just north here, there's a Catholic ruler, same thing. Now what if the Lutheran ruler would die and a Catholic would take its place? Guess what? You become Catholic. And if not, you are going to be persecuted or killed. So that's why we do not have an American flag, because what we do, we believe in the separation of church and state. We do not want our government to control what we believe, as was in the case of Europe when the Church of the Brethren first began. And from the very beginning, Brethren rejected war due to the scripture from Matthew 5, 43 through 48, which is what Sharon read this morning, as well as the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 13, which states, "Thou shalt not kill." Brethren historian Rufus Bowman attributes this early stance not only to these experiences with the destructiveness and brutality of war, but also to the teachings and example of Jesus, who advocated love of enemies and who suffered at the hands of his own enemies without seeking revenge. A statement from annual conference in 1785 said that brethren should not submit to the higher powers so as to make ourselves their instruments to shed blood. The 1918 annual conference adopted a statement that war or any participation of war is wrong and incompatible with the spirit, example, and teachings of Jesus Christ. As the war clouds were forming in the mid-1930s, prior to World War II, the denomination adopted the statement that all war is sin and conveyed that message to President Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Now, as you know, World War II was a very pivotal time. It was a very pivotal time, and as many of you know, my father was a part of the military. He was in the Army. In fact, I have his flag in my home. But it was due to that war, when he came home, that he chose to become Church of the Brethren, and he chose to become a minister in the Church of the Brethren. He did not feel condemned by the church, but he appreciates what the Church of the Brethren does for the sense of peace, that war may be inevitable. For example, if someone says, well, where are the brethren with Boko Haram? As you know, our African church is larger than our United States church. We have more Church of the Brethren members in Africa than we do have here in the United States. So they say, well, where are you as brethren negotiating with the Boko Haram? Well, you don't negotiate with Boko Haram. But what we do is pick up the pieces. We work with trauma afterwards. We help them reestablish. We help them find a spiritual base and a balance so that they can move on with their lives. But let's look at before World War II. It was during this time that they made major achievements by joining with other historic churches to form what is called the National Service Board for Religious Objectors. This led to the establishment of 14 civilian public service camps where conscientious objectors who are opposed to all military service during periods of military draft could fulfill their service to the country and for their nation. The camp started in 1941 and lasted for 6 years. The conscientious objectors worked for a number. You may ask, well, what did they do? Well, here are six ways in which they helped. They worked with U.S. Forest Service. They worked with Soil Conservation Service. They worked with the National Park Service, with social services. They also worked with the Red Cross and mental health services. In addition, and you'll find that there's two types of conscientious objectors, those who believe in that all war is wrong, and others who say it's inevitable, so we need to do what we can. I just simply will not carry a gun. And for those who felt that the combative part of war was what they opposed, many of them chose to serve in medical corps. Since World War II, the Brethren denomination, the Church of the Brethren denomination, have written dozens of statements about the topics of peace. Yet, despite all of these statements about not participating in war, we want you to know today that the Church of the Brethren respects the right of the individuals to determine for themselves if they will go to war and participate in the military. The Brethren have known for a long time that peace is not simply the absence of war. The Brethren's stance is that peace can be achieved mainly, and some will say only, by working nonviolently for justice for all. And that is hard to do. That is hard work. To this end, the Church of the Brethren, we have been a leader, a strong denominational leader, as small as we are, who have been working with programs that strive for justice and reconciliation, who help find those balancing pieces that often follow a war. Some of the programs which were started by the Brethren and which attracted my father to become a pastor in the Church of the Brethren were 1, the Crop Hunger Walks, 2, Heifer International, 3, International Christian Youth Exchange. Also, the Church of the Brethren was instrumental in developing Church World Service and continues to be involved in ecumenical programs such as SERVE, which stands for Supporting the Sale of Fair Trade Goods, and Interchurch Medical Assistance, which is IMA.
The Church of the Brethren simply does not rest on its laurels as a historic peace church, but also works to be a living peace church. And here are some examples. On Earth Peace focuses on peace education. Brethren Volunteer Service, BVS, sends volunteers to work with the poor and oppressed in the United States and around the world. The Global Food Crisis supports food development programs in dozens of countries. Brethren Disaster Ministries rebuilds homes that have been destroyed by natural disasters. The Church of the Brethren continues the peace and justice work of Jesus by loving our neighbors across the street and around the world. Outside of our church door, as you go out, you'll see that in the flower bed there has been a pole erected. It is a peace pole. And that shows that we are committed to peace. In fact, you'll find a number of different languages on that peace pole. Lincolnshire contributes to peace by showing the love of Christ, by giving to our denomination in order that programs that have just been mentioned can continue. We participate yearly in the Summer Forum, which has an emphasis on local programs that assist individuals that are in need. We support individuals through our food pantry, distribute food vouchers for the Community Harvest Food Bank, as well as provide gas vouchers for those who are in need. Through Gym Night, we have positive activities for our youth, and through our ESL program, we are helping teach English. But most importantly, as we raise children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, we must continue to model Christ's love and respect for one another. As our church continues to follow the way of Christ, we pray that our governmental leaders commit to resolving issues through peaceful means, as exemplified by the teachings of Christ that are carried out by the Church of the Brethren. Therefore, regardless of your beliefs on war and peace, may we join together this weekend, honoring those who have served to protect our country and also served to advocate Christ's peace. Amen.